So the first question is just your name and field of study.
I'm Lee Witters. Medicine, biology, endocrinology, biochemistry, and medical education.
And can you tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to Dartmouth?
I'm a physician trained in internal medicine and endocrinology. I'm also a biochemist. I came to Dartmouth in 1984 from Harvard Medical School, where I was on the faculty there for 13 years, and came to Dartmouth for a variety of reasons, central to which was a personal decision about my family and my children. But there were obviously also professional decisions to be made as well. But it was very much a lifestyle issue that initially had me look at Dartmouth, and then I became enamored of it. I came to Dartmouth exclusively in the medical school for the first decade, although I had undergraduates in my laboratory doing thesis work, and it wasn't until 1995 that I became involved with undergraduate education, pre-health advising, et cetera, et cetera.
Thank you. And how comfortable do you personally feel as a professor at Dartmouth?
Comfortable with respect to what?
With respect to your peers, with respect to teaching style, administration?
I'm actually quite comfortable. I really enjoy it here. I don't sense some of the discomfort directly that others do, but I empathize a lot with it and am concerned about it. But personally, I'm comfortable in terms of my everyday life.
What is your perception of the diversity and inclusivity of Dartmouth's whole campus?
Complicated question, right?
Yes.
And I think one really needs to separate it out a little bit. I mean, they belong together, those terms, diversity, inclusivity, but they're not quite the same, and one is dependent upon the other one. From a diversity point of view, if one looks at students, and let's separate that out from faculty, and looks at, from my experience, both undergraduates as well as medical students, and I think it's important to mention them as well. Here, I'm not as familiar with Tuck and Thayer, but worth mentioning them. I think we have a much more diverse student body than we had when I came here to Dartmouth 33 years ago. I think it still has a ways to go, but it's night and day, depending on where it was. I mean, when I came, it was very heavily white and, Caucasian individuals. There were certainly native students, a substantial African American population. I would say there was not as a visible LGBT group as there is now. So I say visible, so I don't, because in 84 people didn't talk a lot about that. Certainly, within the medical school, the undergraduate has always been pretty much gender balanced, but in the medical school, it was a dramatic change between 84 and now, where we're now actually predominant female, where it was much more heavily male when I first came here. But that's been a national trend. That's not just Dartmouth, et cetera. So I think we're certainly more diverse among the students. I don't sense that we're a lot more diverse among the faculty. The medical school being a prime example of that, where there's actually very little diversity among the medical school faculty. Across the campus, a lot of non-diversity in various departments. It's still very heavily male, very heavily Caucasian. I think if you look in the sciences, for example, think about biology, chemistry, math, physics. Et cetera. It's very heavily tilted toward white Caucasians. There certainly has been some changes, to be sure, but that remains a big issue, I think, in the sciences, which with I'm most familiar, but there's certainly other departments across campus which are more diverse than we are. And that's been a big problem. I'm retaining a diverse faculty here. This is a tough area to recruit to, and it's a tough area to retain individuals, where it is very much a reasonably homogeneous community with respect to race and ethnicity. Not entirely homogeneous, but it's very hard to recruit and retain folks here, and they keep trying, but the process is grudgingly slow, especially in the medical school. So that's the diversity part. The inclusivity part is, even if we had a diverse campus, is it inclusive in the sense of interaction between groups that would be identified as contributing to the diversity? And that's a problem too. In other words, I don't see, I see a lot of silos. You know, that is that there are, you know, students who self-segregate. I don't think we have, I mean, despite the social experiment of the housing communities and et cetera, which I know you're not asking about, but I have my own views about that. I don't see that efforts over the last decade have really increased the mixture, if that's a correct word, between those groups necessarily. They still are very much silo-based, et cetera. I think also Dartmouth could do a lot more to increase the mixing of these groups than it does, rather than just identify them and create these silos for them, and et cetera. So I think we have a long way to go in terms of inclusivity. Maybe even more than with respect to diversity, at least among the students. In absolute fairness, I see the direction, the slope being upwards, although I would like to see it be a little steeper.
Thank you.
Let me also say, and this will be somewhat controversial, but I don't mind saying this, that I don't think Dartmouth has devoted the resources that it could to this, and I don't think Dartmouth has paid enough attention to what I will call disadvantaged students. And disadvantaged means they're coming from a different background than a private prep school, a different background than out of legacy or athletic recruitment or et cetera, et cetera. And while Dartmouth extols the wonderful students that it gets with super high SAT scores and, you know, high percentage of valedictorians, et cetera, et cetera, they have not invested the same energies in individuals who come here needing help to succeed at Dartmouth College. You know, whether that's an issue of socioeconomic status, first generation status, ethnicity, race, et cetera, I think the investments have largely been tilted to the advantaged students. So that, and that I don't like at all.
How do you find students' and professors' general receptivity to larger social and political issues on campus?
Well, you know, it's a little difficult to answer that question because it depends who you talk to.
Right.
And who you associate with. I mean, the students who want to come and talk to me are a bit self-selected, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that I'm always getting, you know, the more widespread opinions. I mean, I do read the tea, and for what that's worth, sometimes inaccurate, but who knows, but at least I do read it because I'm trying to get some sense of what the more general things are out there. You know, the students I talk to, I think, share some of the same things that I've mentioned already about myself, but I honestly don't know how representative that is. Right. And I would say the same thing among the faculty. You know, this is a problem where we talk to the people who are you know, of the same general opinions that we are. And especially with respect to students, I can't go out and drag students in and make them talk to me. I mean, the students are self-selecting, whether they're taking my class or coming to me for advising, et cetera.